Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Academy Rewind, the fortnightly podcast where we take a look at the Oscars of a few days ago. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is Poor Thing Sucks Palmer. How are you today?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Just, are you?
Yes.
Why?
Why? Because, I don't know, we're here talking about the Oscars, and I think it was a pretty good year. I know you're going to disagree, but as is your handle right now on our video call, Poor Thing Sucks. So I know you and I are going to disagree. So I know it's going to be a good episode, which then also means that.
Well, of course it's going to be a good episode because unlike the top 10, I laid a trail of anime DVDs in and tricked Lisa into joining.
Lisa's here from I Love That Movie podcast. Lisa, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Tim. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Thanks for coming back for the fourth year in a row. Third year in a row. Who knows?
It's been a long time. I don't know.
I know.
Time is a construct anyway.
So. It is a construct, but we're not here to talk about Interstellar or Inception or other Christopher or Tenet or other Christopher Nolan movies about time. I'm not even here to talk about
Oppenheimer.
But you are indeed. So, for those of you who have never joined us for our Oscar of the Year recap, it goes as such. We talk about the Best Picture Awards in all of their glory. Then we're going to talk about the award ceremony as is. And then we will do our 2024 Rewindies, in which we give our own awards to just the best picture winners. So let's start right away with Oppenheimer. It won Best Picture. Palmer, how do you feel about that?
Was it really? It's weird because is it Nolan's best movie?
No, okay, listen, you've been doing this show long enough that you know that is it the director's best movie is never actually the criterion for whether the movie wins Best Picture or not.
No, but I mean, it's better than Tenet, which is a plus.
Sure.
I mean, we talked about this on the top 10 list because you'd had it highly ranked. It was good. It was a typical like Christopher Nolan movie that looks pretty, is meticulously crafted, has bad sound editing, so the sound drowns out any dialogue.
I didn't find it with this one, actually. Yeah, his other ones, I completely agree with you. I didn't. I was in IMAX and made sure that I didn't fall asleep. but I think it's because I saw it in IMAX that the sound quality was okay. If, you know, like... You needed speakers
the
size of we have speakers the size of New York City, like giving you like the quality that he wants. So
yeah,
you know, my HomePod speakers attached to my TV at home are not going to do the same thing.
No, but I did see it in the theater, and I still had that issue.
Right, but did you see it in IMAX? Is the question?
No.
Yeah. See, so your speakers are only the size of Charleston, sorry. Like, whatever.
You know, you're starting to sound like Martin Scorsese. Next you're going to say I'm not allowed to watch a movie on my phone.
You're not, but that's because of the weird rule that you have with T-Mobile. Anyway, Lisa, how do you feel about Oppenheimer winning Best Picture?
I think when you look at the list of nominees, at least of the ones that I've seen, which is most of them, it was the best.
I agree.
I mean... Yeah, I think it deserved it.
Yeah, I think that this year's Academy Awards were like, even though, let's say, Zone of Interest won Best Sound, it wasn't the best in any other category. But I do agree the sound in Zone of Interest was better than the sound in Oppenheimer. So, like, I agree with that. Like, I agree with that decision over, like, Oppenheimer just sweeping everything. It actually seemed like this, like,
yeah, it didn't really
weirdly fair like version of events. It rarely took the best apart from Best Picture, and when it did, I kind of went, well, yeah, that actually was the best one out of all the ones in that category. That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Go ahead. You had something to say.
I was going to say, yeah, like everyone was kind of predicting Oppenheimer to get like 10, 11, 14,201 awards at the Oscars, and it came away with eight, I think.
I can count because I have the I didn't do the I did my own tally.
I know, yeah, I know it got one more than I said it was going to like halfway through the show, and that was because for some reason it won a category that I don't really. Did it win for soundtrack or music?
Yes. Yeah.
That's, yeah,
For
it
music.
shouldn't
Yeah.
have won that one. Like, I'm willing to hear arguments on almost anything, but that, although I think that category was a mess this year
It
anyway.
was the original score category, not great. They were all like, okay, they were movies that had music. And it was wonderful that they all had the music, but Oppenheimer, but none of them I felt were like truly like you know, I'm a soundtrack guy. Like that's like mostly what I listen to when I like listen to music. And
Yeah.
like I saw all these movies, I saw all the ones that were nominated, and couldn't tell you what most of them. American Fiction was good because it had a lot of Thessalonious Monk, like, but that was like tied to the that was like tied to the movie. It was like tied to the movie itself because
Right,
it
and
was
that
his
can't get
nickname and
nominated for obvious
right.
reasons.
Well, it was nominated, like, was for like the original compositions within whatever they were doing, like the Monk stuff. So,
Right.
yeah, it was just. It was that was just all okay. I'm gonna, but you guys talk for a second. I'll count Oppenheimer wins.
What did you think about the best scores nominees there, Lisa?
Let me look at them again.
Exactly,
I mean, yeah,
when you
nothing really
actually
stuck
have
out to
to when
me.
you actually have to be like, what got nominated? It makes you think like, did they not listen to that many soundtracks? So you had like American Fiction,
Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny.
which I think is like, I love John Williams, and even I'm willing to say like that was not
Not
really.
as close to his best. I feel like they were
Yeah.
like, well, we don't have a fifth, but John always delivers probably, so let's just give him, why
Yeah.
not? It's like a safe nomination.
Someone at the Academy heard the Indiana Jones March in the movie and was like, oh my God, this is great. We should nominate it.
The march is barely in the movie. It's like I think it's at the end credits. It's not even in the movie. So
Yeah.
whatever.
And
Go
then
ahead.
you also had Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Honestly, Killers of the Flower Moon. Out of those five, Killers of the Flower Moon should have gotten it.
I could see that. I also think just in general, I wasn't crazy about some of the movies this year, like that were. I mean, I don't think it was like the amazing year of movies that it has been in the past. So
You
I
know,
don't know.
that's
I think I felt lukewarm on a lot of things, if I'm honest. I mean,
just
not to say they
because.
were bad movies. They're still good movies, just not incredible movies, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes
Just
absolute
because you
sense.
can nominate 10 doesn't mean you should.
You know, that's true, though I do think that like most of them won are like a category of some kind. Like let's say American Fiction won, American Fiction won Best Adapted Screenplay. Anatomy of a Fall won Best Original Screenplay? No, Best Something.
No, that was adapted as well.
Okay.
But so yeah, just because they win in other stuff doesn't necessarily mean you should get nominated for Best Picture.
No, I
The
agree. Oh, maybe
downside is
Anatomy of Fall
though,
didn't win anything.
saying that, they should have nominated less, I can guarantee you if this was knocked down to five, like the five better ones wouldn't have ended up getting nominated. Like I don't think you see
Okay, so
American
to
Fiction.
your mind, what are the five better ones? What were your like? Where were If you were to cut the five out, where would you cut?
If I were to cut five out, I would easily cut Zone of Interest, Poor Things, Maestro, Holdovers, because regardless if you think it's a good movie or not, I don't believe it's the best I've seen of Alex Payne. And
Again, not a criteria.
No, but it kind of is. Like when you can't even meet the bar of past like your past accomplishments,
Oh,
I
see.
don't think you should be awarded for just being in a bad year.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think this was my favorite Alex Payne movie. So I think this is the best one. So
That's because it was about a teacher.
that's not true. Sometimes I hate things that are about schools.
You're so
So,
funny, Bulber.
yeah.
That's such a low. It's because it's a
No,
teacher.
all right.
I have to say I love Sideways, so I probably pick that over Holdover
Because
because
it
that
was
was
about
it
a
too, right?
teacher and it was filmed like 4 miles away from where you work.
It's filmed 4 miles away from you work too. Like, what's your point?
Yeah, but
Really liked Holdovers. I wouldn't cut it from this list necessarily.
I mean, again, that was if I was cutting it down to five. Like, Holdovers would
Yeah.
be like one of my last cuts.
I would cut Maestro, Poor Things, Zone of Interest, possibly Anatomy of a Fall. I thought the movie is fascinating as a concept and I thought it was well done, but I wouldn't put it in my top.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I will answer the question that I pose to all of you myself, I guess. Let me see. If I was to cut five, I'd cut Zone of Interest, Maestro, Past Lives.
Because you hate love.
I don't. Past Lives was great, and I'd cut Killers of the Flower Moon and Anatomy of a Fall. So I'd leave Oppenheimer, Barbie, Holdovers, Poor Things, and American Fiction.
Yeah,
Okay.
I would pr like Killers of the Flower Moons would probably be on the cutting block for me.
Yeah, and for me, like what Lisa, like to me, I actually liked every single one of these movies. Like which is so
Yeah.
rare. Like, like normally there's like
Yeah.
one, there's at least a dud in there, and you're just like, why? Why,
Sure.
God, why? And I found something like I found something captivating, or in some ways, like the best out of all of these movies.
Oh.
And I could pick something like, for instance, Zone of Interest was like my least favorite out of all of them. But it, like maybe 15 minutes in, I was like, wow, the sound design on this film is amazing. And then it won, and I was like, well, that's the one it deserved. Like that's it.
Yeah.
That's the one. But I
That
wouldn't.
makes sense.
It's to me, what is the rest of it isn't Best Picture. It was like that was its standout thing.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I liked them all. I think that they again not an amazing year, but I did like I really did enjoy all the movies.
I'm still upset that Zone of Interest is apparently from England and I had to read
Well, it's A24 though, so all bets are off.
it. A24 was like most of the entries. It was interesting.
That's because
Yeah, there was at
they're
least
arguably the best
three.
film company out there, where they're like, well, we don't make a lot of movies, so we can do quality. So,
I
yeah.
said it in our group chat. They're basically 90s Miramax or even like early 2000s
Hopefully, without the,
Weinstein.
yeah, I was
Yeah,
going to say,
hopefully.
without the weird stuff.
Yeah.
But you never know. We'll just wait for the eventual documentary and see what happens.
Hopefully not.
So, Lisa, you said you kind of liked all of them, but they weren't the best. Like, what were your top movies?
Okay, if I'm looking at this whole list, I think my top movies would probably be Oppenheimer, Barbie, probably The Holdovers.
So far, you've described my numbers 1, 2, and 3, like you've gone in that order,
And
which is hilarious.
then I did really enjoy Past Lives. And then honestly, I did enjoy Anatomy of a Fall. There's a couple that I haven't that I didn't get to see in time. I didn't get to see American Fiction. I'm partway through Killers of the Flower Moon, and I'm really enjoying that. Yeah, I think that would be mine. But like, for instance, next year, we're gonna have like Dune too,
Sure.
and I'm just
Are
gonna put that
we
in
though?
every single thing.
Are
Yeah.
we though?
Oh yeah. If
Oh
the
yeah.
first one was nominated, this one will be nominated.
It's gonna sweep. That's my prediction.
I don't think it'll
Oh, I
sweep.
think.
I think it's gonna be
Oh.
like the last one. I think it'll be like, so we
Really?
nominated
Lisa, you're
a
so
good
precious.
movie.
I don't
Here you
want
go.
to. I don't want to ruin your hopes and dreams.
Yeah,
no. I would do that to Tim.
Yeah, no, I'd be so incredibly surprised if it swept.
I don't know. I feel like it might be like Mad Max Fury Road was that one year.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, that's just a guess. But to me, this year had some good movies, as like pretty much all years do. But I didn't find myself like, there have been other times that we recorded together where I was like a lot more into the entries, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Palmer.
And I think that's, and some of that is like American Fiction. I knew nothing about going in until it got nominated. I knew who was in it. And then when I got nominated, I was able to get around to see it. And that was like my biggest surprise out of these 10. Like, I really enjoyed American Fiction. It was definitely, it was one of the best ones. And Jeffrey Wright, Sterling K. Brown, both amazing in the movie. I was happy to see that it at least won writing. It was very well written. Dialogue is nice and breezy. And I'll say, like, I think the story gets a little thin in the middle and towards the end. So I don't know if it's a complete enough movie to have been seriously in contention.
I think you're right in that, like, the setup of the movie is more interesting than its final execution. Right. I would agree with that. By the time you hit the climax, you're like kind of right. Although I did enjoy the spin on it, like where, like, you know, he gets up there, takes up the speech, and it's like, okay, now we're going to break and we're going to break the fourth wall a little bit, or like, you know, change our narrative structure. And I kind of enjoyed that because a lot of that is like jazz. Like, it kind of did this jazz thing where the whole thing is like, you know, you break the structure like of the music, and that's how, like, that's how you basic jazz theory, that like, that's like where it kind of goes. It like loops back to something that was played before and so on, and that's like what the movie ended up doing. And so I enjoyed that little interplay.
I mean, I didn't love the fact it did it. I get
because you hate jazz.
I get what you're saying, and I understand it. Yeah. But I felt it was more of a cop-out than giving you an actual ending.
Sure. I mean, I don't... Why is an ambivalent ending a bad ending?
Because I've spent this time invested in a story, and I want to know the outcome, and not giving me the outcome, especially if you are never going to do a sequel. Like, well, this is a thing that's going to get a sequel.
Why can't you, as the viewer, select the outcome yourself? You choose what the best outcome and story is for you, and that
this isn't Clue. That's not my job.
This is Clue. The Clue even gives you outcomes. Like, this one, like, you know, like, gives you options, but this one is like, you can choose what the best version of this story is for you, and you can run with it. And I like that model.
No.
Okay, well,
the best version is the version that gives me an actual ending.
Well, aren't you just fun? Palmer, Barbie won nothing. Tell me about how you feel.
Barbie won best original song. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Barbie won nothing. Please... No.
I will jump through this internet.
I just don't care about the original song. I just don't. I just
look. Like, am I shocked that Barbie only won Best Original Song? Kind of.
Really?
Kind of. Like, did I think it was going to win Best Picture? No. The Academy absolutely hates good comedy. Mm. You know, you can argue that, you know, whatever Poor Things was a comedy, but I say good comedy. Just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I would argue that Poor Things is a dramedy.
And I think,
like, Holdovers
Barbie,
is a dramedy.
Barbie, while I fully think it should have been nominated, I think the voters felt like they had to nominate it because of the mass cultural appeal.
Sure.
You know, and I don't want to say it's akin, you know, it's akin to the same stance that you gave me when Black Panther got nominated, and I really didn't think it should have, where you're like, it only got in on the mass cultural appeal. I feel that this has a little bit more going for it than that.
I would agree.
You know, the Academy does love Greta Gerwig.
They do. I love Greta Gerwig. It's not just the
Everyone
Academy.
Should love Greta Gerwig. Especially just like seeing her, like when Billie Eilish won for Best Original Song, if you notice, she was like four or five rows behind Billie Eilish in the crowd. And as soon as they announced Billie's name, like all I saw was Greta like running full sprint up the aisle to like tackle her to congratulate her, which I thought was just, you know, which was, I thought was just amazing. The Academy does love Margot Robbie. Why they didn't nominate her for this, I think, was a downside. Should she have won? Maybe, maybe not. I think she should have at least gotten nominated. I'm happy this time around she got the nomination for producer, because for some reason she did not qualify as the producer getting nominated for Promising Young Woman a few years back, even though it was her production company.
But she didn't work on the movie.
I mean, no, she was still listed as a producer.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the producing thing. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, you can only nominate so many from the movie. So I think you all have to draw lots, is essentially what happens.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised that this movie only won Best Song. But I will say, nominating Ryan Gosling and not Margot Robbie was a little cringy. Like, I don't know. It's very weird. Like, the whole point of the movie is about how the patriarchy, like, eclipses women in their place. And literally, that's what happened at the Oscars. Like, he's the only one that has, like, the dance. And, like, everyone's like, isn't that great? And he was my favorite character. And he was the best written. And I'm like, there is a meta issue here with that.
The Academy does not. Yeah. The Academy does not. Does not like see itself properly, and they were just watching this movie like, they're right, like poor Ken gets left out all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and I say this as someone that thought that sequence was amazing. I love Ryan Gosling. I do kind of think he was written as like a more interesting and fun character than Margot was, and I don't know what that says about it either, but
I think
it is kind of, when you take a step back, it's a little weird.
I think it's really just more that like Margot's Barbie, like, for all of her fish out of water stuff, really has to play the movie straight. Like, she's the straight man.
True.
And so and Ken is not, like, by the nature of the way that the movie is structured, like, he's the foil character, so he's like allowed to be more interesting, because the lead character is rarely the most interesting.
And could it be that in a movie about Barbie, in which you are obviously going to have to cast a Ken or have Ken as a character, the bar was just so low that doing even a decent job, you would have gotten more praise than you would have on any normal character in a movie? Like, I just feel like
maybe, but like the I don't know if the bar was very low, like, truthfully.
I think it was, because I mean, the running joke in the movie is also just like, well, he's just Ken, and that's essentially like how I looked at the role going into it. Like, I don't care who Ken is. I don't, you know, I'm there for Barbie. Like, you could have had Ken completely out of the movie prior to me seeing it, and I wouldn't have cared. Coming out of it, I still think, personally, for my taste, Gosling overacts a lot in it. So I don't see
like everybody does in the movie,
yeah,
except
that's
for
true.
America Ferrera.
Yeah, but he's
that's
more
like
overt.
Kind of the point of the movie. Like, they're not real. They're, like, you know, so.
Right, but it's just so over the top, it's distracting to me.
Yeah,
movie plays it at about at a 7, and he's playing it at about at 12.
Yeah, I didn't find that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but I do think, like, just I did have that thought a couple of times. Like, when everyone's clapping and Margot's clapping, and we're all clapping for Ken, I'm like, this is kind of ironic.
Like, yeah,
oh, totally, yeah, absolutely.
Like, But I mean, again, I really liked it. It was very funny, and I think Ryan Gosling did a great job. So don't want to take away from that.
Yeah, and I think a part of it is like just because she wasn't nominated doesn't mean that she did a bad job. I think there's like this like weird thing like, oh, she wasn't nominated, so like they didn't think she did a good job. Like it's just more like against these other people that were nominated, there was more just like meat on the bone for the type of movie that they were in for them to express themselves and like I don't know, it's just like and alternatively, like Margot's been nominated before. It's not like
Sure.
she's just like, oh my God, she's never been nominated and this one is her chance.
But not as a starring role. She's been nominated
I
under.
Tonya? Movie was
I
about
forgot.
her.
Was it though?
It was. It was. Because Allison Janney
Agree to
won Best
disagree.
Supporting in
I'm
that.
pretty sure that movie was about Nancy Kerrigan.
It wasn't. Anywho,
Hi, Tonya was great.
it was great. It was a great movie. Let's talk about the well, I know some like Palma, you saw all of them. Lisa, you didn't see all of them, but let's kind of go through and just kind of give our thoughts on the rest of the best pictures. We already did Oppenheimer. Let's go Past Lives because Lisa, you had said you saw Past Lives. So tell me about your experience with Past Lives and why you liked it.
Not the movie, your actual experience with Past Lives.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I saw the trailer for this and I thought, it was an interesting concept. And I like that we're getting a lot more of these sort of like.
Movies. We're getting movies.
Films.
She's gone. She left us.
Asian representation.
That's good too. I enjoyed the realism of Past Lives. I'm just gonna wait till Lisa comes back because I don't know
Yeah.
what happened to her. I enjoyed the realism of.
Sorry about
Hey,
that. Can
she's
you hear me?
back. No, yeah, we
So
yeah.
it keeps reconnecting to my phone, even though I'm not using my phone.
Ah.
So it decided to connect to my phone. But so about Past Lives, I really like this era, I guess, that we're in where we're telling immigrant stories in movies, and a lot of them happen to be about people from Asian countries. And I do think that that's not,
Ah, I was right.
it's very interesting, but not as explored. Oh, right about what?
That's
What
what
did I
Palmer
miss?
had said that you were
When you
going to
cut out,
say.
you're like, when you're cut out.
Palmer, we took guesses at what you would have
Oh,
liked about it, and Palmer was correct.
okay. Well, I think that that's interesting. And so I watched the movie and I mean, there were parts that I kind of cringed at, and we all talked about it. And I think, like you said, Tim, you're meant to. But I thought it was very raw and honest and real. I put it off for a little bit because I felt like it was going to be a little bit painful, like emotionally, and it definitely was. But I think it was also beautiful. I thought it was well shot. I liked the actors. I felt a lot of, compassion for them and what they're going through in the story. And I thought it was really well told. And I don't usually like love stories, honestly, but I do kind of like them when they're a little bit more interesting and nuanced, like this one.
This one is quite nuanced. Like there wasn't anything in it that I felt was dishonest or even like melodrama about it. Like there's even that bit where her husband is like, you know, if this was a movie, like I would be the bad guy, you know,
He
like
was.
the like this and that. But it's like that's just not really how life plays out. And so I
Yeah.
found this to be, like you said, I did find it to be painful in a lot of ways. Like and not just in the cringy kind of way, but like emotionally painful because like there is something really a visceral
Tragic.
about and tragic about like first loves that can't connect or even
Yeah.
like yeah even not like distant and grown apart and come back or whatever, but like even like truly like at the beginning when like he says goodbye and walks off and she walks up the stairs, like that's more real than we tend to think. It is like it is, you know, even just as kids not really being able to connect. And so, yeah, I liked the
Yeah.
whole, you don't know the last time like you're going to see like your kid crush, right?
I know. And like, I thought that she has a really honest conversation with her husband where he's kind of like, we just happened to meet. and then we got married, and like it wasn't like that romantic and like faded. And I really think that that's pretty honest about real relationships. I think the ones that you end up in and are consistent, they aren't these like magical stories from childhood. It was fate or whatever. And so, I mean, it just that part was really real to me too. And when she told her childhood crush, you know, that little girl that you were in love with, I'm not her. And I thought, wow, that's really real too. I don't know. I like that.
Yeah, I liked. I liked. As I said, like every all of these movies, I liked for one reason or another. And I just the emotional honesty of this movie, I think, is really what won it out for me in the end.
Yeah,
Palmer,
absolutely.
you love love, but this was about like real love and not the love you love. So how did you feel about
No,
it?
it wasn't. See, you're. It's a movie that I think has enough facets that you can overlook the fact that it is about love and kind of paint what you think it is about. And that goes, you know, it goes to show you, because like you were talking about like the ending being very cringy. And like Lisa had mentioned it in our group text that, you know, she was like, oh, this ending's a little cringy. And you're like, yeah, it's, you know, I think that's what they were trying to go for. And I sent you the actual quote where the woman was talking about like this actually happened to her
Yeah.
and how it was about like a happy sadness because it was a love lost more than anything else. So like she's even kind of like, you know, if this was a movie, yes, she would have left the guy and gone with the childhood crush.
That would have been insane.
That would have been the perfect ending,
That
is
would have
essentially
been
what would have happened.
insane.
She'd be like, look, it's been real, but I made a mistake. Going to correct it. See
For
ya.
like the past 30 years. Well, I will say
Look,
this.
some people make mistakes for a long time.
This is true,
That's
but
true.
I want to clarify one thing. I think the ending was good. The part that was making me cringe a little bit was, I mean, it was honest, but all the stuff that her husband was asking, like, and mentioning, and he was being like, I thought like extra clingy because he was really worried she was gonna leave that part. I was like, ugh. And when they're all on that date together, I just, ugh. But I meant that as like an honest cringe, like, oh, I would
Yeah,
hate
no,
to
I
be in this
yeah.
situation.
I'm all right. So, as much as I like this movie, like the only part that I was like, I don't know what's really happening here, and I would like to know what's going on inside the heads of these characters, is when they're on that weird when they're or on that like date for the most part, where it's her husband and the person she really loves, and they just start talking in Korean. And the movie kind of shrinks the scene down and slowly edges the husband out. And I'm sitting there like, poor husband who doesn't actually speak Korean for the most part is just sitting there as they stop talking American.
I do like how the movie like sets up that scene early on, right? That first scene where you like. This is the movie you think you're going to watch, and by the time that you get there, you're watching a completely like you're watching a completely different movie than you expected. And so, because I think we're all like, I think everybody is in some ways a people watcher, and like, oh, what do you think their
Yeah.
story is or whatever? And I just like that connected with me. Didn't make me feel
Definitely.
guilty about people watching. I don't know if that's what it was trying to do. Like, you don't know the real story. I'm like, I don't care. I'm making it up. Like,
I'm
so.
always making up a narrative in my head when I see stuff like that. So
Absolutely.
I thought that part was really real.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to let's move on to Poor Things. Why not? Let's do it. Palmer, you hated this movie. I need to tell you about why I liked it before you roll into a rant, I think. Lisa, did you see Poor Things? You didn't like it either?
I liked it.
Okay.
Lisa is
It's
physically
weird.
incapable of hating things.
That is not true. But I did like it. I don't know that I'm as in love with it as some people are.
Okay. It's
But
literally only Tim.
I thought no, I saw this because of how many people recommended it to me, including Tim. I think it's really, I think that it's good. There are some things about it that are a little weird to me, but other than that, I thought it was good. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right. I am a sucker for a Frankenstein story.
Yeah, that part was cool.
It kind of like had me at that, like initially. And I was like, okay, I like that. And I like just a couple minutes into the movie, I was like, okay, this is a full on symbolism movie. Like everything is supposed to mean something and connect to like a large like theme. It's not, I'm not really watching it for the plot, which is pretty basic. In a lot of ways, like I'm watching it. Like people kept talking about like how sexual the movie is. Like, oh my gosh, it's so sexual. I'm like, right, but that's like she's experiencing human liberation through sexual activity, and the movie's pretty clear on like what types are should be acceptable, and which types do not, like, or what types fulfill her versus which types do not. And like she's allowed to like she becomes an adult through that experience, kind of like a, in a lot of ways, like a really primal, kind of way. And because she's baby brand new, pun in, kind of intended. I really liked that. I loved that, Willem Dafoe's character is Godwin. So like, you know, he is the her creator and she refers to him as God, but she's like weirdly, like it's an ironic way. She's like, I have to go see how my God is doing. And she, but, you know, she's just like, she's not, she doesn't really mean her creator, but she does at the same time. She's just like, all of that just really worked for me. Mark Ruffalo's absurd performance, worked for me. As soon as he showed up, all I could think about was the fox in Pinocchio that like lures Pinocchio away to like Trombonis or whatever that guy's name is. Like, and I feel like,
Stromboni.
is it Tromboni?
Strom.
Stromboni. Thank you. And that's like I just like everything was like this like heightened Frankenstein-esque Pinocchio-esque I want to be a real person and I've got to figure it out, but like just like instead of this fairy tale for kids, it's a fairy tale through adults, and the way that you do that is through like sexual activity because that's something that is for adults and not for Pinocchio, right?
I will say though, I think if this was about a male character, I don't think it would be about sex. I do think there's something weird about that in our society where when a woman is finding her power, it is usually told that way, but not for men. And I don't know why that is. So that part about it is a little weird, but I agree with everything else you said,
I wonder.
except that.
I think that comes from centuries of women being shamed
Yeah,
and
that's
kind
right.
of oppressed from having sexuality or wanting sexuality.
True.
So I think that as we're trying to
In the Western
break
world,
that
I think it should be
stigma
really
and move.
clear too about like when this takes place and things like
That's
that,
true.
right?
The setting has a lot to do with it. But my other thought about Mark Ruffalo's character is he kind of reminds me of, like, honestly, trying to think of how to phrase this, but like, I do think there's a thing that happens where a man is a little bit older
Oh,
than a
100%.
woman, and he's like,
Absolutely.
oh, well,
Yeah.
to her, I'm going to be the best in bed, and I'm going to be the best at everything, and I'll just make her situation that she's in seem bad so that she'll run away with me. But really, he's like, you know, a piece of shit.
Right.
For
But that's
lack of a
like,
better term.
right. He
And
is.
they nailed that
Right.
perfectly. And
I
him being
agree.
older than her even is like part of that.
And he
Yeah.
just
I thought it
doesn't
was
get
good.
it either, which is also what
Right.
I really appreciated about like the character that like he's just like he is completely oblivious to his own sense of self. Whereas like her whole
Yes.
purpose in this movie is to discover her sense of self. And she
Yeah.
does that largely with somebody who has no idea about
Right.
anything.
He's a jerk. He's not a horrible villain. He's just really, really selfish
Right.
and kind of dumb.
He's kind of Gaston. Like in the, like this weird way, like it's why like
Yes.
I love Gaston as a Disney villain because he's not like I'm gonna like be mayor of the town or be king or destroy the world or whatever. He's literally just like I love myself so much that I need the prettiest girl to be my wife, And I don't care what she thinks about that because it's about me. It's like such a low stake villainhood because like the town's already corrupted. They're already awful people in Beauty and the Beast. It don't matter. Right. Like he's like, we should kill a thing we don't know. And everyone's like, heck yes, let's do it. Like they're already bad. Like it doesn't matter. They're before he shows up, they're singing about how weird this girl is who's smart and can read. So, but I feel like Mark Ruffalo is like that, or that his character was very much that, that person. And so, I also liked this, like to go off the, like the Frankenstein thing is that like, you know, the Victor Frankenstein type character, Willem Dafoe's character, Godwin, is the cut up monster where she's quite beautiful. And so like you have the reversal of like the creator and the creation in which she is like supposed to be flawless and he is the one that is marred as opposed to the way that you know Shelley you know originally wrote her characters.
Also the whole like well I guess it's a spoiler, are we allowed to say spoilers?
Yeah, we are now, go for it.
Absolutely.
The whole like her brain being a baby's,
sure.
You know it's very much a commentary on the whole Born Sexy Yesterday trope and how you know how messed up that really is and how like I think sometimes people justify their actions by saying like well you know they have the body of an adult but really doesn't it it does matter you know that's subjective body of an adult anyway I mean I think that's also creepy true. Thing to say
yeah Lisa jeez. So
it really picks that apart like you're calling her a child but she's not and I don't know. It's just all that stuff was really interesting, too.
I agree, completely agree. Palmer, you didn't like this movie at all. Why?
Not even a little.
Why?
This
after all our Marvel's commentary, did we right. have we not turned you?
Not even close. No. So this movie is the most artsy movie I think I've seen in a few years, and that's saying something for the movies that we've had to endure at points for this journey.
Like that Swedish movie that we remember that one.
Oh,
the one with the red room.
I don't. Thankfully,
yeah.
That endure. I want to hear more about that.
I can't. Yeah, I can't. I can't even remember the name of it. I can't help you. But
this. This movie feels like it is a soulless piece of art done by somebody who thinks that they're a great artist because they went to school for it. This is like this is film school.
Can you look up whether he did go to school for it? Like, can you look up?
I didn't.
Yeah, it would be great if he's not.
Let's not forget, this is the same person that gave us The Lobster. Okay?
I know, which I don't like. Like, so it's not.
I've never seen that, but I love Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Okay, then yeah,
great.
I've not seen that, and he did.
Oh, it's so good.
And he did The Favorite from a couple of years ago,
which I like.
Yes, a lot of people love that.
Which was okay. Like, I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it as much as I hate this. This is like he saw Willy Wonka. And he's seen Del Toro movies and was like, I know how to make great art. I'm going to use the knowledge that I gained at school and I'm just going to copy these people. And it miss it. Like, I don't feel like it has the soul of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, I get all like the Frankenstein similarities and how it's, basically that. I just feel like at times this movie just misses the point so much and just kind of glosses by stuff by being artsy.
What point is it missing?
She's learning to become human and learning to become a human adult, which is fine. But at times it just seems to either rush towards her learning or uses her childlike nature as a joke that I don't think the movie needs to do.
Mm. I disagree with all of that, I think. Yeah, just from like top to bottom. Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand why it being art house, for lack of a better term, you know, or film school-esque, right? Has any, like, would take away its soul.
I'm not saying that one has to do with the other. I'm saying that this movie, I feel, has no soul on top of it just being an art house movie that feels like it's self-important.
And it's the Oscars. They're all self-important, though. Like,
yeah, I think it's very beautiful, though. The sets are very beautiful. There are times it kind of reminds me of, like, Citizen Kane a little bit. Like, I think visually it's really, really great. I think visually it's better than some of the other parts of it for me.
Visually, it reminds me of the meth lab Willy Wonka that has been in the news lately.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think that was on purpose. But yeah, you think you're right. It does have a Del Toro quality to it. I think more in the production design than anything else, or even the costumes. Like her big puffy sleeves and are kind of like butterfly esque.
It needed more ghosts.
Very stylized.
It is, but like that's I don't have like who like
yeah I'm okay with
yeah
that.
It doesn't like stylize is great. It's a film. Like you can be both. Like it doesn't have to be. It doesn't just have to be realistic. It can be lots of things. That's the nice part about art. It can be everything. Like, so yeah, I don't know. I just really, yeah, it was a movie that when I finished, I went, okay. And it didn't leave me. I kept thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked it because I was like, I put the pieces together from what I was watching. And that is a strong, like, to me, that's a stronger film than a movie that I went, oh, that was a lot of fun. That was great. And then I never think about it ever again.
Random question that's off topic, but kind of on topic. I mentioned Killing of a Sacred Deer earlier, and that reminded me of Barry Keegan.
Oh, God.
Did the movie Saltburn?
Baby Saltburn.
I was thinking about Salt. Like, would that be part of next year's Oscars? Like, did it come out too
late? No, thankfully, it did not get nominated, and we'll never have to discuss it.
Oh, I'm kind of surprised. Like that, I would have put that movie easily.
It reeks
in this
of Oscar
list,
bait. Yeah, I agree. I think it actually is a stronger movie than, say, Maestro,
I mean, there are a lot of movies stronger than Maestro.
Serviceable movie that exists. That's my review of Maestro. It was a movie that I watched.
Yeah, there's things about Maestro that I was like, not super excited to see. One of them being the prosthetic nose. I don't know.
Saltburn.
You know, the nose didn't bother me.
Down.
His own kids were like, looks good. So, like, yeah. So,
Saltburn got dragged down in a few different ways. One, it didn't even get really that much love from the BAFTAs. And it's like an English movie. But two, I think it's a much more difficult sell because of the subject.
Gotcha.
That I think even the Academy was like, I don't know. Because, like, as much as I dislike Saltburn, I think Rosamund Pike was really good. Carey Mulligan, I think, is also in it. Right?
Yeah, she's
nominated.
Like, I think I would have liked to have seen her get nominated over her getting nominated for Maestro. But in the end, I would also wonder if the Academy, like me, saw a little bit too many similarities in Saltburn as to Promising Young Woman. And they're both written by Emerald Fennell.
Okay. I could see that for sure. You know, there's some crossover there.
Like the reasoning for everything that's happening is different, but at the same time,
it's a revenge kind of plot. Yeah.
Yeah. A revenge, I can't think of the term that I'm trying to think of, unfortunately. But like the swerving of the movie is very similar and very samey. And I hope. I hope that was on accident and it's not going to be like a thing we constantly see in her, kind of like the M. Night Shyamalan, like, you know, there's going to be a surprise
What a
twist.
twist. Yeah.
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 What a twist. Anyway, speaking of twists, let's move on with our.
Maestro.
Actually, yeah, sure. Let's do Maestro. It was a movie that I saw. Everyone is fine in it. The end. It wasn't bad. I've just seen better this year, even, you know. So,
I've
yeah.
seen better this week. Like I my biggest issue with the movie, as I've said, is the it feels more of like a documentary than a movie. And it's just a documentary with actors. Like it's a, just reenactment. And overall, like you can't it's a hard sell for me that the story is even enough to be interesting.
So this is going to sound so strange, but maybe you all agree. You watch a movie about a famous person, right? And you're like, famous person, not famous, gets famous, is secretly troubled. We learn about secret troubled history. They die. End of biography. That's everyone.
It is. It is. But at the same time, like, good biographies have something like, aside from that, that they're overcoming or trying to surmount. And I don't feel like this movie conveys that he had that much.
No, well, he might not have though. I don't know if that's a fault of the movie. It's more of a fault of Leonard Bernstein. But
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying is like, without that, it ceases to become interesting.
right. He's not. There's the conflict is like he's fine with the conflict, so it's not really a conflict, right? It's
Right.
it would then be his wife's conflict, but we don't spend enough time with her for that to really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except the Academy thought we did.
Yeah, I don't know why either. It was like, well, sometimes, you know, like sometimes movie gets nominated because they spend the most money getting it nominated.
There was the running joke online of like Bradley Cooper is like the most only cares about getting an Oscar. Like to the point where like he will do anything for the Oscar. And I don't know if we've really gotten that, 'cause like Maestro was fine. It was okay. Definitely not the worst thing they've ever nominated. Not
Not
even
even
close.
close to the worst thing they've
Yeah.
ever known. No,
Yeah.
it was a fine movie. It just didn't scream a great movie. It was like,
Yeah.
I watched it. Did you watch it? Okay, great. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. All right. Le It was in black and white, you know.
Yeah, and then it
Good.
wasn't. It's wild.
Yep.
Yeah. Lisa, do you have anything to add?
Not really. I didn't see it, but I wasn't super interested, if I'm honest. I kind of felt like, I don't know. I just feel like we've done this before.
Yes,
Maybe I'm just getting
exactly.
old, but it's like kind of everything you were saying. I just thought, okay, it's going to be the same plot. And I don't know. I just don't find it all that interesting. While you were talking about it, I was reading through the synopsis, but yeah, I don't feel like I missed out that much. I guess, you know, I've rented several movies this week to watch kind of in preparation for this, and that one I could have watched for free and didn't. So that tells you
Oh, that
something.
actually does tell you something, I think.
I just wasn't super pulled in. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's move on to something that we couldn't watch for free, Zone of Interest. The story about the Commandant of Auschwitz. I found this movie fascinating, but not entirely worth my 2 hours or hour and 45 minutes. The juxtaposition between what you're hearing and what you're watching was fascinating. And really, I thought really well played out, how, quote unquote, I guess, normal the family is. Here are their normal problems, whatever. And then they have these insert side conversations about their extreme anti-Semitism and Nazism against hearing the backdrop of the camps. And then it the seedy underbelly of the family and all this stuff. And if you took the house out of Auschwitz and you moved it somewhere randomly in Germany or in Switzerland or in Australia or in Canada or whatever, and you're just telling the story of a family, That's what I found most interesting about it. But I got all of that in 20 minutes. And then I, like, then proceeded to watch the rest of the movie. Like, and I just, like, don't think the rest of it was really, like, it didn't add anything, like, to the series of events. It just, like, kept doing the same thing. You were watching the family over and over and over again. And it could have been a short film, and it wasn't. Lisa. She's gone again. That's okay.
The interest was not in her zone.
Oh, got her. Palmer, go ahead.
So, all right. It won best sound. Great. I'm for it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Sound, fine. I get the whole thing of, like, hearing the war and what's going on throughout the entire movie and you know, put to like the slice of life.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, this movie doesn't need to exist.
I don't agree with, but continue.
I get the point. I honestly get the point of why people feel like the movie needs to be there. But what I absolutely, in this day and age, do not need is a movie showing people that Nazis are just like us.
But that's the point. The whole point of the movie is they're saying that, like, they think they are, but they're not. Like, so you're watching this family, they'd be like they start so, quote unquote, like, normal, like, because they are just regular people, you know, but like to see the overpowering awfulness and corruption of their actions and how it influences their family and, like, permeates all of that. That's really what it's about. And I completely disagree. Like, you have to keep telling people that this thing was bad. Like, because...
I agree. You have to keep telling people that this thing was bad. But there are so many better ways to do it without running the risk of people overlooking it.
Yes and no. Like, I think that the majority of the people who would even tune into this movie are aware enough of, like, reading a movie for a message. Not many, like, it's too indie of a movie to not.
In theory, yes, but when it gets nominated, it gets a broader platform.
It does, but usually the people who even care about the nominations of stuff like now, who bother to watch everything, they're not really your general public anymore.
So before I saw this movie, I saw an account that I had to stop following because they just became insufferable.
Yeah, I know. And I really wish that you would follow me again. Like, my feelings are hurt.
They,
yeah.
They had a meme where it was like, you know, oh, Zone of Interest was so good. I really wish that, you know, I hope it gets nominated and more people should watch it. And then the other half of the meme was, oh, Zone of Interest got nominated and now more people are watching it and they don't get the message, so they think it's bad and they're wrong. I'm like, no, you can get the message and still think this movie shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I on the basis of, like, to remind people that the things that people are capable of doing to one another can be quite terrible and how to avoid, like, don't be like these people. Like,
right, we get like one of those, not every year, but enough that, yeah, cool. I don't think this movie needs to do it.
Yeah.
I think there are better ways to go about it. But what did Lisa think?
Yeah, I actually didn't get to see it, but I guess I'm somewhere in the middle of what you both are saying. Sometimes there are some movies where they're erring a little too much on the side of, like, oh, this could have been you, to where it makes what they did seem not as bad. But at the same time, I do think there's value in knowing that, like, there was a whole society full of anti-Semitism, and that is part of how this happened, and it's not just one person, and it's not, you know.
Right.
So I can kind of see both sides.
I think it's easy to be like, oh, the Nazis, and you think, the soldiers, right? You don't really think about the general day-to-day public that also, like, helped make this possible, you know, like the, you know, and then from their perspective of they're like, oh, well, we were the lower class and now we're the upper class, and how, like, how easy that turn can be for people, and how dangerous that can be. I think that is an important message. And, this was my least favorite movie of all of them. And, like, you were, like, made me like it more by having to defend it. How dare you? How dare you?
If this was about like a perfectly, in theory, quote unquote, normal family and their turn to, like, discovering they're Nazis, I think it might have been a little bit more interesting.
I don't know if I'd feel a movie that would, they turn to one another and they go, oh, we are anti-Semitic now. Oh my goodness. I don't
and
know if I would
just high five each other because they don't care.
I don't know if I would have liked that. Like, no,
I will say the director, because this movie won best international award, even though it was an English movie.
No, it's a British movie. Like,
Britain should never get nominated for an international award. I don't think the BAFTAs nominate USA movies as international.
No, because they're the British Film Awards. They nominate all the things, like, whatever. Anyway, continue.
In any event, I thought the director had the best speech of the night, so that was a plus.
I don't remember it. Why is that a why?
Why?
What was the speech? I don't remember.
His speech was the one where it was like that discussed what was going on with Israel and Palestine, and how we need to stop dehumanizing everybody. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're never going to find a path forward.
Right. Okay. Which is the central thesis of his movie and also his speech, therefore prove it.
Yeah, but I don't think we need to not demonize Nazis. Like, I'm fine with demonizing Nazis.
But they are demonized the entire time. I don't understand, like, this, like, they're not the quote-unquote not demonized part. Like, they're just, like, casually, horribly anti-Semitic in the kitchen, like, 5 minutes into the movie.
Well, you were the one that...
So, like,
you were the
I really...
one that was just saying that, you know, that's what this
but
movie was.
But they think they're normal. That's, like, the point. Like, that they're just, like, doing it like their thing. They're not, like, working in government offices or whatever. Like, that part... Like, he just, like, goes to work, like that part. But they're still, like, horrible from the beginning, and they just only get worse as it goes.
Yeah.
I think you kind of watched it, I think, is what happened.
No, I fully watched it.
Did you watch it at work?
No, I don't watch foreign movies at work because I'm going to have to read it.
All right. Well, that makes you a good self-employer, I guess. All right. Let's move on to American Fiction. Lisa, you did not see American Fiction, right?
I did not. I'm failing this year.
All right. Well, you know what?
I saw quite a few of them.
You put your feet up and you take a little rest. That's okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll You've been working hard over there. I love Palmer. We've already kind of talked around American Fiction. I thought the writing was its strongest point, but it also had a great cast. You didn't like the ending. I did like the ambiguity of the ending because we're different people. Anything you want to add?
Pretty much. I'm usually right and you're wrong. That's essentially the gist of it. The one question I have for you on this movie is the central plot line is he watches like some sort of TV show in which this woman is like a celebrated author, mm-hmm. because she quote unquote writes a real book about the Black experience in America.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's very weighted in, the only, I can't think of what it would be called nowadays, but in the terms of like the past, like kind of like Ebonics for the most part, where it's like what people think street level people actually say.
Oh, I think that they refer to it as the Black experience in the movie. So I would like call it that. But the whole point of the movie, right, which I know you know, is that, like, there's not just one black experience, that there's many black experiences, and that, like, just like there's no one experience for anything.
Right, and
he needs to learn that lesson just as much as the people, the absurdity of the rest of the people in the movie.
Yeah, okay. Because, like, he sees it, and he's like, look, this isn't real. Like, this isn't what my experience was. And he thinks people are just kind of placating to the placating people to the level they think they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel better about lifting it up.
Correct.
Almost.
And also, like, it's that, but also, like, the absurdity of, like, people trying to be supportive, but by doing so, they perpetuate, like, the racist idea.
I did like when he talks to the author that kind of spurned this idea he had.
Ray, yeah.
And they're kind of arguing about it. And she doesn't get, like, why. Like, she's upset with his, because he's doing it under a pseudonym or a ghost. Or,
right. Yeah, pseudonym. Yeah. But
yeah, the pseudonym.
But then a false identity.
Dislikes it. Is.
Right.
For the same reason he dislikes hers.
But he never read hers in the first place, which is, like, the hypocritical part. Like, he, like, read excerpts and saw and based his entire opinion on something that he didn't bother to read, which is also which is a commentary on exactly what everybody, like, does.
Yeah, because he sees her at a function, at a book reading function, where she's just reading, like, a chapter or a portion. It's funny, like, their scene almost reminds me of the Stephen Colbert interviewing Smaug.
Oh yeah,
bit from the Colbert Show. It's like Smaug, 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 Smaug.
Yeah,
I don't hear a difference.
I'm not hearing it.
Like,
good stuff. Yeah, I just, like, it was like commentary on top of commentary on top of commentary, but, like, the movie never turns to you, like, with a wink and is like commentary, you know,
right.
it's just telling the story. And I appreciate that. I also really appreciated the really, like the his two named reference, like Thessalonians Monk and Ralph Ellison. Like, I really liked the important, like, black jazz artist, important black author, and, like, he's even, like, in a lot of ways, like, absent-minded to the, like, his own namesake, which also, like, who wrote a book about, like, with, like, almost like the book about the black experience in Invisible Man. So, like, it's just, like, yeah, like, the whole thing really strongly worked for me. In my top five of the year.
I was very happy that it won writing. I wouldn't have been upset if Sterling K. Brown would have won for Best Supporting Actor.
He was excellent, but he's always excellent, so it's, like, hard to pin down where that excellence
again,
is.
Again, that shouldn't be held against somebody.
No, I agree, but we'll talk about it when we get to our own thing. So, all right, moving on to maybe a movie that Lisa has seen, Anatomy of a Fall. Lisa,
yes,
you saw Anatomy of a Fall. You start off. Yep. Tell me about your experience with Anatomy of a Fall.
I thought it was very thought-provoking and interesting. And I thought that the actress did a great job. I thought she was incredible.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell the tonal line between, like, did you do it? Or do I just not like you? Or do I like you? Or do I not
yes.
like you? Yeah.
You know, I've heard some people's take on what she did as sort of like a, well, she did everything wrong. It's very obvious. She's horrible. But that doesn't mean she did it. And I'm like, man, I didn't read her that way at all. I think that's really interesting. But I think the movie was making a point of the way that the media portrays, you know, people in trial and how much their opinion, how much societal expectations, all that stuff was really interesting, you know, in terms of a trial. I think at the end of the movie, you're left thinking, like, wow, this is how justice systems are. And that's kind of not okay. But I don't have a solution. I don't know. I thought that the movie was great, but I still was surprised that it was picked for Best Picture.
Yeah. Well, I do like a lot of the choice. There, like a lot of like thematic choices this year, as far as like winners. Like, there's a lot of these movies have to do with like otherness and ostracization of people and all that. And like, yeah, here's this woman who she's German, living in France. She's like, she even says like she's not allowed to speak her native language, even in her own home, because nobody else speaks it. And so
she said she can't.
She can, right? She would not allow, can't, because like nobody else does, right? So
well, like, no, because she can't. Like, she physically cannot speak it. She doesn't know how to speak German, which is why she speaks English.
I see.
No,
I don't
really?
Think that's. I don't.
Yes.
Think that's,
so.
No, I just said nobody else speaks German.
She does not speak her native tongue, and so that's like her point was, I can't speak my native tongue. You're French. English is our common language, and that's our.
Right. I took that as like nobody speaks German. She's got a German accent, so I'm under the assumption.
Well, the actress has a German accent.
So that,
like, I think what she was saying though is like she grew up speaking German, but yeah, her kids speak French and English.
Yeah.
And he speaks French. And so English is the middle ground for all of them to speak together.
Right. So she's one step removed from everybody else, and then she's only further removed as the movie goes on, as the trial commences and whatever. And so, like, she's set up as somebody that, like, feels guilty because she's othered. And, like, but she says, like, that's nothing that she can do about that because she's, basically a stranger in a strange land.
Right.
So, yeah, that was, all right. I'm going to say Lisa and I are right because it's 2-1.
Or we'll be here all night. It's like who's on first, what's on second.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna argue the point.
I'm not gonna argue the point. I'm just gonna look it up on my phone.
I'm going to while you're discussing this movie.
I'm interested because
I will look it up and see if I can find something. But go ahead. I don't wanna.
But she did make some confounding choices too that you're
sure
like,
did.
Oh, like anybody, I mean, hopefully none of us are ever in this situation, but hopefully you wouldn't do that. Like, that definitely happens a lot.
Right. What,
she doesn't display a lot of emotion, which is a huge no-no.
Because she's
like,
German.
There's just a lot of things about
it's
it.
Because she's German. Right. I think that's like, but that's like part of it. Like they work with like the natural assumption and the stereotype of nationalities and language and like that stuff is really smart.
And gender too.
And gender, you know? Right.
Yeah.
And like she's not on trial for like whether she's a good mom or not. She's on trial whether she killed her husband or not.
From what we can see, she is a good mom.
Yeah, sure. She seems to be coming from a good place.
I agree.
But yeah, even her sexuality being on trial, I mean, that stuff definitely happens in real life, and it was just all pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't. It was one of those movies that I finished it, and I didn't feel it really got going until the trial. Like, I really wasn't into it until the trial.
And so slow.
It was, and like not like I don't mind slow, but like if you're not doing any, like if you're not, it didn't feel like it was progressing anywhere. So it just took a while for me to really tune in. But once I did, once the trial started, I was like really riveted. And normally I don't care about murder stories or trial movies or anything. They're just like, so not my interest level. And like, because this one held me, I was like, oh, this means it was good. That's like, almost my barometer.
Can I ask, I know the point of the movie kind of is that there are times that we're never going to know, right? Like,
sure.
What happened, and there's all these theories, but at the end of the day, you're just picking a theory that makes the most sense. Like, even his possible suicide, she in the beginning didn't even think that that's what happened, but she was pushed to make that assumption. Then her son maybe was pushed to make that assumption. But what do y'all think happened? Do y'all have a theory?
I would like to believe that she did not murder her husband, because that poor boy needs somebody to support him, and like she is doing her best as a parent in a lot of ways. So I just want to hope that like he wouldn't lose two parents to all of this. Like, he would, you know, so I'm going to opt that she didn't do it.
I mean, I'm of the opinion of Tim where I don't think she did it. Like, I don't, and yeah, not, you're never gonna know all the time. I just feel like there's not really enough evidence that they ever show you
100%.
to even come close to, like, if I was on that jury, I
Yeah,
wouldn't have voted
because
to convict. Like, you're not, you
right.
haven't convinced me beyond a reasonable doubt that she did this. Yes, they had a fight. Yes, she slapped him. That a slap
Oh, yeah.
Right. Palmer slaps me all the time. We're still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can typically happen in a heated fight. And
Yeah.
I wouldn't even, while I'm not saying it was right to slap him, it's never right to put your hands on anybody physically.
Agreed.
I also wouldn't, just by seeing that one instance, like, I wouldn't categorize their relationship as physical, as,
Yeah,
like,
it's
physically
abusive.
abusive.
Yeah.
Maybe mentally, depending upon how much you want to read into that one scene and extrapolate from there. But they probably weren't the best for each other, but that doesn't necessarily mean she should be guilty of murder. And
Agree.
I do agree. As time has gone on, I've liked this movie a little bit more than I did when I originally watched it. And I thought it was fine when I originally watched it. But if you gave me the movie of from the court scene, from the courtroom on, and extended that out a little bit more, I think that this movie almost would be a slam dunk for me as far as maybe in contention to win. I just
That's
didn't
an
find a
interesting
lot.
perspective, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't find a lot leading up to it to be that interesting to me until we get to the courtroom. Like, even them, like, recreating the scene in that, I feel like there are ways they could have gone and brought you into
Yeah,
this movie
I
a
feel
little bit
like this movie
faster.
would have actually benefited from a different edit in which, like, it's a lot of flashback to
Yeah.
prior stuff while the trial is basically the whole movie,
Yeah.
instead of it kind of just being linear. But
I do have a theory about why that might be, though. Have you all heard the theory that the dog did it?
no, what? The theory,
Okay,
like,
I
the
watched a
dog
whole
accidentally
video about
pushes him?
this.
Did he?
Well, the movie starts with like a ball coming down the stairs. We don't know who threw that. And then the movie shows you that area a lot throughout the film, and you see the dog a bunch throughout the film. And so I saw this video that posits that maybe nobody threw it, it fell down, and that maybe the dad was playing with the dog, and then the ball, he might have like stepped and slipped and like fell out the window. I don't know. If you watch the
Yeah,
video,
can you send that?
it made
I
sense
want to
to
watch
me.
that. Yeah.
And then he's like, the dog's later like laying down and looking at it. Like, there's just the dog is in it like more than he needs to be, and it's like, why, you know? So that was an interesting part of it. So maybe that's
I'm on
why you see
board.
so much of the house.
That's my answer. I didn't even watch the
Reminds me of
video,
like
and
that
I.
staircase. Have y'all ever heard of that? There was like a murder where people were like, maybe it was an owl that came and scratched somebody. I don't know. So it kind of reminded me of that. But I was like, well, yeah, maybe that's what happened. But we're not really meant to find out what happened anyway. So just a theory.
Nope, that's the
Yeah.
one. That's the one. I believe it. Please send that video, though.
Will do.
Let's move on to Barbie. Do we need to say anything more about Barbie?
It was great.
It was great.
It was
I
great.
agree.
Okay, great. We're moving on. The Holdovers was also great. I loved it. It was one of those. I loved it, and I understand kind of like why it was nominated, I guess, because it was just like a well-made movie, but it also at the same time I was like, not a winner? Like, this was just a well-made movie, but like it didn't do anything like so extraordinarily different than anything that I had seen before, that like, ragtag group of sad people learn not to be sad, but they're still sad. But they have each other. Christmas. The end. You know what I mean?
Sha la la la.
Yeah, it was like it felt like a throwback to me, like
Yes.
very much so. It felt nostalgic in a lot of ways. Not just the setting, but just the storytelling felt nostalgic to me. And I really enjoyed it,
Yeah.
but I agree with you. I wasn't like, wow, that is a Best Picture nominee.
You know, it's funny because, like, when I that you said that, because, like, when I finished it, I was like, wow, I loved that. And I told, like, 10 people to watch it that I knew, like, don't do Oscar movies. I said, you will love this. You got to watch it. And they all came back and they're like, you're right. That was an amazing movie. And everybody agrees, but I still, like, not a Best Picture, though. Just a great movie. It's like,
yeah, it was just solid.
It just, like, misses that, like, quality of something that makes something a Best Picture. And I don't even know what that thing is. Maybe it's commentary. Like, usually social commentary is the thing that, like, pokes a bit. Like, it's either epicness or social commentary, and it didn't do either of those things. Maybe, like,
originality,
originality,
yeah,
maybe
it wasn't
generalized.
Super original.
No.
Although Devine's, her Oscars.
She was transcendent. She was incredible. Yeah.
She was really good, and her speech at the Oscars was very moving. And
mm-hmm.
I think the only thing I would change about the movie, and I'll keep saying it, is I think that she and Paul Giamatti's character should have been together in the end. The writers are cowards.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. There is something like, asexual about Paul Giamatti's character. Like, I don't know if, like, even though, like, he has this, like, crush on this, like, woman that brings him cookies, but she's got a boyfriend and everything like that. There's just, like, feel like he's so grade school in some ways that it, like, it really never goes beyond that point.
Well, he tried to hold her hand.
Right? He held her hand. Very adult.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, I just don't think it's, like, in him to go. But, and also, she had that other guy whose name I can't remember who was also great.
He was just there, just like the girl that Paul Giamatti had a crush on. They're just in the way.
They were in the way of their love.
In my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know that the kid that they found for that movie, I just found out today, they filmed in Massachusetts for for the movie, and I guess they couldn't find a lead actor, like, did, like, wide searches, Hollywood, the whole thing, and someone was like, why don't we just look at local theater companies in the places we're filming? And that's where they found him.
I feel like you can tell. Like, I wasn't surprised when you told me that.
That he's, like, not a local,
yeah, and I feel like he comes across a little green.
Yes, that's absolutely true. But I feel like it's, like, it works for his character.
It really works for the character. Because he's also, like, kind of awkward and stilted and doesn't really fit in with his peers. So it's, like, that kind of translates really well. I thought it was good.
Yeah. Paul, anything you want to add?
Yeah, so this movie, it's okay. I liked it. It was fine. I felt it drags on like much of Alexander Payne stuff does. Like, he finds a way, as good as his writing is, he can find a way to make an hour and a half movie feel like 3 hours sometimes.
The trick is watching every Oscar movie in segments because you don't have time to sit down and watch it in a full 2 hour plus movement. So none of them feel long because you're only watching for 40 minutes at a time if you're lucky.
But that being said, as much as I liked Paul Giamatti in this, and overall I like Paul Giamatti, I feel like Payne typically writes him the same kind of
curmudgeon-y, like, sassy, quick-witted, maybe not completely self-aware.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. That's kind of the, you know.
And the way to kind of figure out, like, if you, not necessarily understand what I mean, but if you agree with me, is take Paul Giamatti lines from, say, Sideways. We're not drinking Merlot. Can you see this teacher saying it? Sure.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. I can also see, like, someone be like, no, believe in yourself. I do believe that you can fail this class. Like, you know, like,
right.
He would definitely say that to Thomas Hayden Church. Like, yeah, without a doubt.
And again, like Anatomy of a Fall, I feel like this one falters a little bit in starting, getting going. Once the truck starts moving, it starts moving along much better than it does when it's trying to turn over. Mm. I really love the fact that Devine got this award. I thought she was really good in it.
It's Devine, I think.
Devine, sorry. Yeah. Paul Giamatti would have been good as a winner, if not for like an entire body of Alex Payne work over just this one.
Yeah.
The Oscars are more than, have done that time and time again. I would even argue that they did that with Cillian Murphy. So if you like dry humor, you're really going to enjoy this. I don't know if it's elevated enough to be a best picture, and that's
Well, it's not, and it wasn't. So I guess like
yeah,
that it solves
I
our
guess the
yeah.
Academy agrees
Or
with
even
you.
like best picture nominated. Like that's, I think it falls a little bit short of that for me.
Speaking of falling short, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, it really should have been much longer.
It was a little short, wasn't it? It wasn't, it
Yeah.
didn't hit the 4 hour mark. I this is, Scorsese is not overhyped. This is not so like this is, like he's an excellent filmmaker of a very particular kind of movie. And every time he like and every time he makes that movie, a crime movie, you just like watch crime and crime families in slightly different settings that are very well like that are very well put together with really resonant acting and good lighting and costumes and production design and whatever, and it's always all good, but like I don't really like just crime movies, and so like this like halfway through this movie I was like just watching the same thing that I watched with other things that he made, and I just like my favorite Scorsese movies are the ones that he like is like I'm gonna actually try to do something different because he
I
like
won't make the bad guys the star of the
that's why
films.
like that's why I think Hugo is one of his best movies because he's like I'm gonna
Hugo's awesome.
Hugo's an amazing
Oh, wow.
movie. Like, it's
Yeah,
so
I don't know if
good.
I agree with that, but
What?
Hugo
Yeah.
is
I'll just keep
unbelievably
quiet
good.
over here.
But, like, Hugo, Shutter Island, even, like,
Man.
I like Shutter Island a lot.
You kind of lost me on Shutter
I
Island.
really don't care for
Silence.
Shutter Island that much. That movie to me feels like a M. Night Shyamalan movie a little bit.
Exactly.
Whatever. Yeah. But like at least he was like not making a crime family movie.
I agree, yeah.
And
That
like
was a plus.
so like
I love
maybe
the
it's because
crime
people were
family movies.
I mean that's funny if you do, but I just like don't. Like it takes like a lot for me to be like, that was a good movie. Like if it's I don't know, if
Totally
it's not The
understand.
Godfather, I don't really care. And that's not
Got
like
it,
'cause
yeah.
I think The Godfather's the best movie ever made. It's just like really the only one of the only crime family movies that I enjoy.
If it's not
Well, that's
Casino, I don't
fair.
even care.
I've never
There
seen
you
it.
go. There's a Scorsese movie.
I
Go ahead, Lisa.
feel like, and I haven't seen this all the way through. I've watched, like half of it, but because it's long, as y'all said. I worry that this movie has the same concern that I have with a lot of movies like this, where I agree with the overall point. I think the representation is great, but I feel that we continuously make films where the people that we're talking about are the side characters
Thank
in
you.
their own narrative.
Yes.
I do.
That being said,
Yeah.
Martin Scorsese is a genius filmmaker. I don't think he's going to mishandle the subject, but I feel like we're all going to go, oh, we have the dancers from this tribe and we're going to recognize this tribe, but like, is that going to translate to more work for these actors, or are they always going to be regulated to these types of films where it's a period piece and they're not even the main character? I don't know. That's my only concern with it.
Yeah, I don't think that Lily Gladstone is a side character, but I do
I
think,
feel she is.
yeah, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that. I know that was one of the criticisms, but like that, I was maybe it's because I heard that before seeing it, but I was like, she has a lot to do, and so like she's like kind of the like.
Think that's solely because of the runtime. Like, statistically, it had to happen
Well, there are
eventually.
other characters that have like lots to do or not a lot to do, but you know, like I don't know. I think there is a Lisa makes a very strong point about, like, is it only period pieces? Is it only this? And I mean, like, in some ways that we know that's not true. Like Reservoir Dogs on Hulu and FX.
Yeah.
Like, is it really,
but I think that's been a newer thing.
Absolutely.
But,
it's a newer
thing.
But
at the same time, I don't think we can hold Martin Scorsese responsible for that either.
No.
So I don't want to, like, diss the movie because of that.
I also
and I'll give him credit for hiring people of the tribe that he's making the movie about. And having, like, I'm never going to fault Martin Scorsese for attention to visual detail.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's different from then how the story is conveyed and handled when it comes to a script thing. And you can argue, like, yeah, Scorsese doesn't write the script. So, you know, it's not necessarily his issue.
Sure.
But I think he has enough sway over the script to kind of shape it.
I do think that it is not, even though the Ojibwe tribe is not, like, they're not the main characters per se. The movie is, like, distinctly taking a stand with, like with the events, like, you know, like, because,
yeah,
like, a movie about a crime family can easily be like, well, isn't this fun? Look at them do crime.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of Scorsese's movies are like that too, where it's like,
right,
they're responsible for their own downfall.
Right,
this is bad.
Correct. Yeah, and yeah, this one I felt like he's not sympathetic to their cause. Like, you're more, mm-hmm, like, saddened by the choices that they're making. And I don't think that you get that without the presence and commitment and quality acting of Lily Gladstone. Like, I think,
yeah,
that she's the one that sells that around all of it. Like, otherwise, like, nice, you could kind of be on their, not be on their side, but, like, you could find them charming in some way. Like, and, yeah, and that is the part that I really liked about it.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to backtrack and say, I didn't want to gloss over what you said about Reservoir Dogs. That was totally true. And
Reservation Dogs. Reservoir Dogs.
Reservation Dogs. Reservation Dogs. Reservoir Dogs, different movie. But I agree with what you said. And, you know, for a long time, there was a movie called Smoke Signals that I always really liked, because it talked about the Native experience, not in the 1800s. And I thought that was really important, and always wished there was more of that. And I think Reservation Dogs is more of that, and it's great.
It's an amazing show.
If
people haven't,
that.
Yeah, if people haven't, yeah. If one of the reasons that you didn't like Killers of the Flower Moon, or, you know, or didn't watch it, is because that Native representation wasn't there for you, and you haven't watched Reservation Dogs, I highly recommend watching those three seasons.
Yeah, and there is starting to be a lot more, I think, nowadays, and I think that's great. So I don't want to take away from that and be one of those people that, like, you know, even when there's something good, you're like, no, I'm still not satisfied or moving the goalpost at all.
Correct.
Agree with you.
Yeah.
I have a very real fear that within the next 2 to 3 movies, we are no longer going to be able to understand what in the living hell Leonardo DiCaprio is saying without subtitles. Because every movie, since The Revenant, he has become more and more like Mumbly Joe.
I didn't think he was Mumbly Joe in that movie about the end of the world.
Yeah, I don't see that, but I mean, he does have like a thick accent in this one.
Do not ever remind me that I had to watch Don't Look Up.
That's the name of it. I could not remember. Thank you.
I forgot that you didn't like that movie.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Leonardo DiCaprio fan. Like, he's really hit or miss for me. Like, we've talked about this a bit before. Like, I feel like he plays very similar type characters, like, in, well, actually, this one, yeah, and, like, he doesn't really grow in his style of presentation, I guess, which a lot of actors don't, but for some reason, I just, like, it just doesn't always work for me for him, but, like, I found him to actually really be a character in this movie, and not just, like, Leonardo DiCaprio acting, which is what I normally see, so, Yeah, I guess I the mumbly Joe thing is a thing that I have a problem with many actors. Like, they're like, well, the microphones are great, so I can do less, like, I don't know, pronunciation now. And you're like, no, you still need to.
Yeah. I don't know, because I totally blacked out and forcibly removed my memory having to watch Don't Look Up, my takeaways were Revenant to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to this. It's very mumbly. It's very... understand him, but there's going to be a point very soon where we're not going to.
Maybe he's losing function of his tongue. It's like a real medical thing, and you're making fun of him. Did you ever think about
that? I'm okay with this. Just at least let us know.
Okay. He can't. His tongue is mumbly.
Blink. For the love of God, blink in Morse code.
All right. Well, let's move on from this in case, so we don't spoil it for Lisa because she's still watching it. Let's talk about the award ceremony in general. This was one of the most, for me, enjoyable Academy Awards that I watched in some time. I thought a lot of the jokes landed. The pace moved like so much that they had extra time, which never happens. I was particularly swept with John Mulaney's Field of Dreams 1 minute monologue when it sounded. I thought that was just incredible.
That was the worst point.
No, it
was a real like callback to, he had a bit a long time ago around Marty McFly and
Back to the
Doc
Future.
Brown.
Yeah, I was thinking of his future one, like, you know, that ballroom, you know, the one where he says blah blah blah. But yeah. I forgot about the Doc Brown one.
It was really good and very funny, and this kind of reminded me of that. I feel like having Jimmy Kimmel, you know, be the host is honestly a good call.
Yeah, because he knows how to host. That's like his whole job.
He doesn't go too far. He doesn't, you know, he's not like surprising us, shocking us constantly. I don't know. Call me crazy, but maybe because of the last few years, I just don't want that anymore. I want to just enjoy it. And I think the only jokes that didn't really land, and it made me kind of sad, was the ones with
Downey Jr. and his drugs. Those didn't land for me.
Would you say it again?
Downey Jr. with the drugs. Those didn't land for me.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
Melissa McCarthy, when she went up there and made some jokes, it was like awkward, like not that funny. That kind of was like, oh, I kind of made me a little sad. I'm like, I like her, but that joke wasn't funny to me.
You know, for the most part this year, unlike past years, I will say the presenter banter, I think, was a little bit better than it had been in years past. But what I don't know is if the presenters are given input, or if it's just like, you know, they have the writers from the Oscars and they're like, here's who's going to be presenting that award, write whatever.
I feel like they're given a little bit of input, otherwise John Cena would not have walked on stage naked.
Oh no, he absolutely would have.
Well, I feel like input would have been necessary in some way.
Probably. But what I'm saying is, I always feel like there always seems to be a disconnect between whether or not you like these performers in everything at all and the presentation banter is usually very bad. And yeah, it was bad with Melissa McCartney, but for the most part it was fine. The Schwarzenegger, DeVito,
I was going to say theirs was
pretty good.
Top notch.
I honestly really loved what they did with the acting categories, having five of the past winners each take a nominee and give them a little spiel about the people nominated. And I would love to see them do that going forward with acting, directing, maybe writing, if you could find a way to kind of do it.
It does
a little bit well with writing.
It does add time, so I'm not sure if I would want it with every category. I feel like it would actually get quite stale with every category.
Saying every category, like those special effects, production design, all that. No,
I would actually. But like, I wouldn't mind. Like, we did it with actors this year, so next year do like a different set, and then like kind of switch off. to give like a range
or just actors and directors. I feel like the main categories.
Really meaningful. I mean, I think it carried a lot of weight, and you can't even imagine what they must have felt like hearing those legends talk to them. And
yeah, and I don't.
It's really nice.
From my understanding, I don't know if it was with everyone, but like some of those, even, you know, yeah, they were past winners, but they had an emotional connection or a relationship already with the person that they were talking about.
Yes.
So that helped. So I don't know how much you can kind of kick that can down the road.
Right. Eventually you're going to run out of people who are connected in some way, but not all of them were. And like when they're not, you get a legend talking to you. So everybody wins.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed that. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a really good job. He usually does a really good job. You're right. I think I'm fine with no longer like having like people trying to feel like they need to push the envelope with a roast. Like there's a difference between roasting someone and intentionally pushing the envelope and not knowing where to stop.
Sure. Well, I think we learned from last year that you can go far too far. Chris Rock.
No, that was 2 years ago, man.
That was 2 years ago?
Oh, wow.
Was it? Really?
Was it?
And Chris Rock wasn't the host.
Oh, yeah. He was just
a presenter.
Right. That's right. That's right.
But yeah.
But anyway, it's like pushing the envelope. Yeah.
Yeah. We're entering an era with comedy where people aren't really liking that anymore, and I'm all for that.
Correct, which is why the best joke of the night was about a movie that came out in the 80s, right? Like,
no, that wasn't.
Yeah.
That was the worst part of the night.
No, you don't like good things. Like,
Mulaney should just be barred from anything, really.
He's, you know, probably not a great human, but he is very funny.
As like most comedians, probably not a great human, but they are funny.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll see Kimmel back next year. I don't know who we're going to get to.
You know, and truthfully, I won't think about it until next March. That's the truth.
No, I need to know now.
I really don't care. I don't think it's been the hosts have been declining quality in their own way since Whoopi Goldberg in the early 2000s. It's never come back.
Oh, God, no. They've been better.
All right, you're right. Steve Martin and Martin Short double teaming. That was also great.
Yeah.
That was 24 years ago.
The initial rating came in and it was above last year.
Oh, good.
It was an increase. In fact, it's been increasing
ever since
the pandemic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ever since we got out of the pandemic, it steadily clawed back viewership. It bottomed out in 2020 for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even say like that ceremony alone was a mess.
Because
that was the one that they had. The 2020 ceremony. That was the one that they had in like a train station.
They
moved Best Actor to the last one because they thought the guy who died was going to win, and then he didn't. It was Anthony Hopkins.
I forgot about that. That's right.
You know, that year was a train wreck. I don't know. I don't think it was completely its fault, but that year was a train wreck. But the ratings have gone up, which, I mean, everyone complains about ratings when it comes to the Oscars, and I think it's one of, like, hitting stuff for no reason, because as, like, Tim sent me a thing, like, months ago, where it was, like, the top 10 shows of, like, the last year or 2 years or whatever, and he was surprised that the Oscars was on there. Like, aside from the Super Bowl, the Oscars is one of the most watched shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it might lose some ratings. It's still doing better than anything else they've put in that time slot the entire year. But I did like that they started a little bit earlier. I like they ended on time.
Me too. It was all good.
Wow, this felt like it ended very early. There have been some years where it ended pretty late, right?
Yeah, well, it started early, too.
Why they started an hour early.
Right.
I don't know if I would like it as much on the West Coast, because, like, on the West Coast, you're looking at 4 o'clock.
True, but from their point,
Dinner's in the middle of it. It's like,
maybe,
but I did their like perspective miss the first 10 minutes this year because I was like, oh gosh, it's already starting, and I'm like cooking dinner.
Yes,
like,
7 o'clock is it, yeah. It is kind of tough. There's a reason that TV show started at 8, you know, and not 7. But at the same time, like from their perspective, they're like, woohoo, we get to party earlier, which means we get to go home earlier, you know, like, so I don't know. I think it wins for everybody. We're almost at the 2 hour mark. So let's move on to our 2024 Rewindies. This is all the categories, you know, supporting actor all through Best Picture. We pick only from the top, only from the Best Picture nominees. We'll just go around and you can explain your reasoning or you cannot explain your reasoning. You do not have to pick what the Academy did, but you might have. In my case, I just pretty much went with what my original choices were on my ballot when we were, when I was watching the Oscars. I'll go, Lisa will go, then Palmer will go. Starting with supporting actor RDJ for Oppenheimer. Lisa.
I agreed with that choice. Yeah, so
I think they were
I'm going to say, yeah.
Yeah. They were all good. It was kind of hard to choose. I found that with a few of these, like, well, this one was also good. This one was also good, but I'll go here. Palmer, what about you?
Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction.
Yeah, see, he was really good too. So there you go. Supporting actress. I'm going to go with Devine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers. Arguably the best out of everybody. Lisa.
Same. Yeah, I have to say, totally agree with that choice.
Palmer.
Devine Joy Randolph.
Excellent. Production design, Poor Things.
Production design. Sorry, it's taking me a second to think about this. I was kind of surprised that Barbie didn't get it. I think I would have gone with Barbie, to be honest. Barbie had an
amazing production design. I think that...
Because it looked like a plastic world.
Yeah, I think... I think in that way... It loses because Poor Things was more intricate.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, don't help him out. Lisa.
But it was like, right, but wrong. It was also like it was like clearly also expressionism, like German film expressionism, and so like that's hard to achieve, and so like it's not just like here's a plastic wall. It looks like Barbie's house, which is like. You know, I'm sure harder than it sounds, but I don't know the intricacies
it's
and like
creative.
Why it's right and why it's used and what they're doing with it and the style of film. It just like, comes together more in Poor Things. So
I can see that.
Barbie's production design was like Poor Things, except it was good.
That's a terrible argument. Costume design, Poor Things.
Yeah, I mean Poor Things.
Yeah. I just like that she wore shorts when she's like a little kid, and when she grows up, she wears long dresses. Like she's like not a kid anymore.
Like
just stuff like that. It was like strong thematic or symbolic choices. Palmer,
I agree.
Obviously Barbie.
Yeah,
It was much better.
Okay, yeah, great argument. Continuing, makeup and hairstyling, Poor Things because they kind of go hand in hand with costumes. Let's be real here, Lisa.
Yeah, Poor Things.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, especially, Willem Dafoe.
So. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maestro.
Oh, a bold choice if there ever was one. Perhaps a little on the nose.
The nose looked
maybe real. Even controversial.
Yeah, right. Music, I'm going with Oppenheimer more because I like Ludwig Göransson more than like the score of Oppenheimer. Like, but like we talked about, like out of all these 10 movies, I'm like, what was the music like in any of them? I don't know. So anyway, Lisa.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of talked about it at the top and I'm going to go with Oppenheimer, but I guess Poor Things might be a close second.
Yeah, Poor Thing. Yeah, that violin is actually still in my head.
So. No, that's not music.
It's music. It's music.
No.
Palmer, go ahead.
No. Barbie.
For music?
Yeah.
I mean, it did have a catchy song.
We have a long-standing history.
Oh, yeah. Soundtracks,
of,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, soundtrack being like anything.
Yeah, that's why we say music and not original score, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Barbie, the songs are fantastic. It got 2 nominated in this year, but even the ones that didn't were still pretty good. Dua Lipa, I think, got kind of railroaded out of an Oscar nomination.
Mm. Visual effects, it's kind of a short list on visual effects for the top 10 list, so I'm going to give it to Oppenheimer. Not that it didn't have good effects. Like, I'll always take a practical, like, nuclear bomb explosion, I guess, over, like, created in a lab with lights and chemicals and stuff, as opposed to, you know, a CG thing. So, but I'm not, like, really sure what else I would put in there.
Apart Maestro? From
the car crashes and Killers of the Flower Moon. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
And so you said we could go with, like, the best... It has to be a best picture?
Correct.
Or it could be...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess if we're picking from best picture, then I'd probably give it to Barbie, honestly.
You know, I did think about Barbie, like, especially, like, the stylized travel scenes and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
But it's not amazing.
I kind of pulled that into production design.
Yeah. It felt like more like that than special effects, I guess, but...
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point.
Yeah. I would go with Oppenheimer.
All right. Cinematography, I'm also going to give to Oppenheimer. It's just like, I think it's really tough to make people's faces interesting, like, especially when you look at them over and over and over and over and over again. And between that and the bomb and, you know, so on and so forth. So, yeah, cinematography, Oppenheimer.
I will say Oppenheimer, too, although I would almost pick Killers of the Flower Moon,
yeah,
also.
It has some excellent,
because
yeah.
Because it's really pretty. Yeah.
It is really pretty.
Yeah, I am going with Killers of the Flower Moon.
Excellent choice. Excellent choices all around. Editing, I'm also going for Oppenheimer. I liked the back and forth. I liked the pace. Like, it was all good, though. There's some really excellently edited movies in this lineup this year. So this one was actually a little bit more of a difficult choice. So, well, maybe not Killers of the Flower Moon. Could have taken out a few scenes. It's fine.
I'm going to agree with you. I think Oppenheimer for me as well.
Anatomy of a Fall.
For editing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sound, Zone of Interest. That's
sound.
Typical for you, because you didn't see Zone of Interest, right, Lisa? So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I know y'all are going to be shocked, but I think maybe Oppenheimer. I know people
don't like the way
Nolan does sound, but I do like that about that movie.
It's really the only Nolan movie, I think, since Dark Knight where I haven't been, or Interstellar, since I've been like, ow. Like,
yeah, and I'm like, I understand what everyone is saying.
Yeah, I knew it. It was great. I knew it. Everybody was meant to say.
Yeah.
Zone of Interest.
Yeah. Best Actor, I want to give to Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy was really good. Yeah, that's my answer too. I kind of wanted to give it to Paul Giamatti, but I feel like that's because I like him.
That's how I felt too. I was like, and not that I don't
and
like
then Jeffrey
Cillian Murphy
Wright too. He's just
and also because I like him, right? Yeah, yeah. You just like look at the list and you're like, but you're all good, all of you.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a difficult choice for sure.
Jeffrey Wright.
There you go. All right.
Cillian Murphy, I just felt he was okay in. Like, I don't think he was at the top of his game.
I don't know.
Okay.
Actress Lily Gladstone, though I will say that I was just as happy that Emma Stone won. Like, I just, for what she created with Bella Baxter, but I think that Lily Gladstone was just absolutely amazing.
I think I'm going to go with Sandra Hüller.
For which one?
Anatomy of the Fall.
Yeah, okay. I agree. The better
Anatomy
one.
Anatomy of the Fall. I thought she gave a really good nuanced performance. Yeah, I liked it. So that would be mine.
Margot Robbie, Barbie.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Perfect performance.
I do think that she's not really good. She's not getting enough credit for how subtle the performance is, like mm-hmm. from how she starts as full-fledged Barbie to what she ends up as. Like, it's a really, like, small progressive shift in the way that she holds herself and what she does and how she moves. And, like, if you're not really paying careful attention, you miss it. And I think
that she does require more credit. I would argue she's getting attention from everyone but the Academy.
Yeah.
Because she got nominated almost across the board. She won some, she didn't, which is fine. Like, you can argue who's the best of the best. But I think just closing her out completely was just the Academy missing the boat.
Mm.
Yeah, she has some really good scenes in Barbie. I'm thinking of, like, when the kids in the cafeteria make her cry, and some other scenes, too, that are, like, I don't know, they're really, she gets really emotional, and it's, I found it pretty moving.
She does, yeah, she does a good job of conveying various emotions in the same scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Best writing I'm going to give to American Fiction.
Hmm. Best writing. Gosh. Yeah. Tough decision for sure. I'm going to go with Oppenheimer.
Good, good, good.
I'm going to say Anatomy of a Fall. I think the courtroom stuff was just really dynamite.
Dialogue is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the fight scene, I think, is just done very, very well and written about as well as you can. Especially on a scene that you don't, like, it's told entirely through the audio recording and you're not seeing what's happening.
Palmer, you convinced me. I've changed my answer to that.
Oh, good.
You did it.
Good. I'm not changing my answer. American Fiction was too good, but it's okay. Director, I'm going to give to Christopher Nolan.
It's tough. From the Best Picture nominees, yes. I think
from
I
the Best Nolan. Picture nominees, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would you give
Greta Gerwig?
Who would you give? Wait, Greta Gerwig for Palmer. But Lisa, if you weren't doing just the Best Picture, who would you give it to?
I'm on the spot.
You said, well, from the Best Pictures, but I think, but all of the Best Picture, all the best directors are also Best Picture noms. Anatomy Fall, Killers, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. So,
like, I think I was referring more to this year in film.
Okay. You're like, well, who's the best one? I have so many choices.
Miyazaki for Boy and the Heron.
Yeah.
I do really like that movie a lot.
Come on, Max. Stream it. Dang it. Be so close. I'm so close.
It's good. It's just, it's very emotional. And I do think it's different from a lot of his other films.
Oh, it could be a good thing. So,
yeah. Very good. It might be. Clearly was good for his win.
You're right. There you go. Best Picture, Oppenheimer. I agree with the Academy.
Yeah, I do too.
Fine, Oppenheimer.
Oh, what? What?
Look, I could give it to Barbie, and I could make a, I could probably make a case for it if I really wanted to. But
you
at the end of the day,
it's a great movie. It's, like, really good.
It is.
It was really good.
But as far as, so as far as, like, filming, like, every aspect of filming, I would say overall there's more Oppenheimer than there would be to Barbie.
Overall filming, this, yes, yes.
Like, if you were to break down every single aspect of filming and gave it a 1 to 10, I think the average number for Oppenheimer would just edge out Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going on pure likability, I'm going to watch Barbie over and over and over again. Technically speaking, it Oppenheimer.
Mm. All right. No. Yeah. All right. All right. That's it, everybody. We did it. The 2024 Academy Rewind. Look at the Oscars. We did it, everybody. We will be back sometime eventually.
next year,
probably. let's get at least one episode out. We can do it. It's really on me more than
one
you.
Episode a season.
Yeah, we can do it.
Hey, we ended early too, just like the Oscars.
We did. Look at that, under 2 hours if you don't add the music in. Lisa, where can the people find you really fast?
Yes, of course. You can find me pretty much anywhere you stream podcasts. But you can also find me on X at ILTM Podcast. That's always going to say feel wrong to say X/Twitter. Mm-hmm. You'll also find me on Instagram at I Love That Movie Podcast. And my show also has a Patreon in case you want to support us on there. But we have a lot of fun. I've had both of you on, and it's just been a real pleasure to record with y'all today. So thank you so much for having me back.
And likewise to you, Lisa, thank you for coming back. It's always a pleasure to have you. You can find us on AcademyRewind.com or ThoughtBubbleAudio.com, where you can check out all other Thought Bubble Audio shows and probably other places too, but who cares?
You can email us.
No, you can't.
Ken rigorously checks those emails.
You can call our private cell phone numbers. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, you can't. Anyway, I think we're done here, actually. They're actually playing us off.
No, I have some more people to thank.
Well, too bad. Bye.
Bye.